I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. In the studio with me is the curator of American art from the Delaware Art Museum, Heather Campbell Coyle. Welcome, Heather.
Hi, great to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here in the studio to talk about a really exciting exhibit at the Delaware Art Museum, Our America, the Latino Presence in American Art. This is a really fascinating venture for the Art Museum. It's novel in many ways, and that's what we're here to talk about, as well as the Art Museum in general and how this exhibit fits into the broader scope of what you're all about. So tell us a little bit about Our America, the Latino Presence in American Art, how it was put together and how it came to be at the Delaware Art Museum.
So Our America was organized by the Smithsonian American Art Museum in Washington, D.C. It was organized by their curator of Latino art, Carmen Ramos, who really was brought on there to start to build their collection of Latino art, to assess and build that aspect of their American art collection, and then to put together what is really a groundbreaking exhibition. The exhibition, they first premiered it in 2013, and it has been touring around the country since then. We are one stop. We really were excited when we saw this exhibition proposal, because it gave us an opportunity to present some work that is outside of our usual expertise, certainly outside of my personal expertise. But some artists that we are familiar with, there are a couple of artists in the show whose work is in our collection, but to present them through a different lens, through this lens of Latino identity, rather than through a sort of traditional art historical, how do they fit into the history of contemporary and modern art stories. So it's a huge show. It is 92 works by 72 artists. So it's a stretch for us physically. We have it split into two galleries in the museum in order to encompass it all. And there are things for people with all sorts of interests. As far as medium goes, you have paintings, you have photographs, you have sculptures, the kind of predictable museum mediums. You also have film and video and installation work. It's an extraordinary group of things. Artists who work in all styles. The work dates from the late 1950s, when the idea of a collective Latino identity began to emerge in the United States among artists, and then through the 2010. So it's a really broad span of time as well. Some of the artists are living. Most of the artists are living. Some of the artists are dead. They work in all styles. We have everything from, you know, realist paintings, including photorealist paintings, to complete abstraction, and everything in between.
And this represents countries from throughout Latin America, is that correct?
Yes. Well, the exhibition, Our America, as you can tell from the title, the Latino Presence in American Art, it's about artists who are active in the United States, but whose roots are in Latino culture. So particularly Puerto Rican, Mexican, so Puerto Rican obviously part of the U.S., and Dominican and Cuban are particularly well represented, just because there's such large populations in the United States, but also some other Latino groups with deep roots in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned this was put together by the Smithsonian, is that correct? So is this a traveling exhibition then?
It is. This is a traveling show. The Smithsonian put it together. It's been, as I said, it's been several places in the United States. I went to see, it was in Utah and Arkansas not long before us. It hasn't been anywhere near as close as D.C. since 2013, so we've actually been getting a lot of the artists coming in, because many of the artists based in New York are coming in, because this is the closest it's been to them. Mm-hmm. And after us, it will continue to travel. I think it goes to Allentown next.
Okay. Now, as a visual art exhibit, do you have other activities scheduled around the time that this is here?
We've programmed heavily for this show. There are Spanish-speaking tours on Sundays, as well as our usual tours in English. There is a dance series, so you can come and learn various Latino dances. We'll have a lecture with the curator Carmen Ramos and one of the artists who's Philadelphia-based, Pepón Osorio, will be coming to give a talk together. We have films. There is on Sunday, April 17th, there is the Hispanic Heritage Fiesta at the museum. And on Friday, April 29th, we have Noche de Carnaval, which is like an after-hours celebration where we will have, food trucks and other vendors, as well as performances with live music and dance. So that should be a really fun evening event.
Mm-hmm. Now, as the curator of American art at the Art Museum, can you speak to what the curator at the Smithsonian went through to put together this exhibit of, I think you said, 90-some pieces representing 72 artists, is that right? How does the curator do that? What kind of criteria, what kind of considerations go into that?
So when Carmen was brought on, it was to assess their collections. What do we have by Latino artists? There's a Latino initiatives group within all of Smithsonian that works with all the museums, and they were part of bringing someone in to look at the art museum, and they had a lot of art by Latino artists, but it had been collected here and there and not necessarily thinking in a broad sense about Latino art. So she went in to sort of fill in some of the gaps in the earlier collections. So looking at artists who maybe weren't as well appreciated when they were active, and going out and collecting some of the matriarchs and patriarchs of Latino art. And then also looking to see what's happening now and looking across the country, because of course Smithsonian is in D.C., but it's a national museum. It has a national charge. So the show has a lot of work from Chicano artists in California, in Los Angeles area, particularly strong, but also artists who I was completely unfamiliar with, like Franco Mondini Ruiz, who is in Texas, artists who are in Colorado, as well as, of course, artists in New York, including many New Yorkian, Puerto Rican heritage artists who are active in New York City. So she went and she did tons of studio visits with living artists, as well as, kind of sussing out what the history was and trying to build the collection and then put together a show from it. The show's organized thematically. So she brought together some broad themes that focus on the idea of Latino identity. So you have a section on artists who are really engaging with specific historical events. From the Mexican-American War or the Spanish-American War and how that affected the Latino presence in the United States. Artists who are looking at migration. Artists who are looking at the stereotypes of Latinos in the popular press and are reacting to that. One of my favorite sections of the show looks at the Latino civil rights movement in the late 60s and early 1970s. Throughout the early 1980s with the Farm Workers Union, and Cesar Chavez, and the incredible graphics that were produced for that. These just stunning posters that you've seen in our marketing materials for the show, because they're very strong graphically as
well. I remember some of the boycott grapes posters
an amazing boycott grapes poster with this Aztec or Mayan looking figure, and then there's this wonderful one called Sun Mad, where they've taken the sun made raisin label that's familiar to all of us and replaced that healthy grape picking woman with a skeleton. It's just this incredibly effective piece of propaganda to let you know how the grape industry is affecting the people who work in it with the herbicides and the pesticides that were being used that were really affecting the lives of the farm workers.
Now, the Delaware Art Museum is internationally renowned for its Pre-Raphaelite collection, for its Brandywine River artists, the Wyeths and so on. How does an exhibition like this, or what kind of challenges does an exhibition like this present to the Delaware Art Museum? It's a different kind of exhibition to present, I would think.
This certainly is. It's a different kind of exhibition, and it's so big and so broad. And there are so many artists who were new to us as curators. We have, as I said, a few of the artists in our collection. Some of the artists I was certainly aware of outside of this exhibition, although maybe I hadn't thought of them in a Latino conversation. I thought of them more as, just interesting photographers or New York artists, but I hadn't really made the connection with their Latino heritage. Artists like Christina Rivera, who I was familiar with as a photography artist, and who her work in the show is certainly very about her Latino heritage. But you know, there are all these artists in the show. Ken Gonzalez Day, who works on who did a series of photographs based on the California lynchings in the early 20th century, which was a whole movement I didn't really know much about. But anyway, so a bunch of artists that we may or may not have been familiar with, but a new context for us, because even the artists in our collection, we're not necessarily thinking about them in those terms. And certainly for me personally, I mean, my specialty is John Sloan and early 20th century New York. So this is taking me outside of my specialty, which has been a lot of fun to learn about the art and then to meet some of the artists. Since I'm used to working on dead artists, it's always interesting when you can meet them and actually ask them the questions that are in your head. But it gave us the opportunity, of course, to outreach to a broader community and to bring, you know, new and exciting work into the museum.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier about the types of art in this exhibition, and I'm curious, is there also a range of artwork between those who have been formally trained and those who are more self-taught artists?
There is a range, but one of the reasons actually that the show takes its starting point as the late 1950s is because that is when a lot of American Latinos, like a lot of other American artists, had returned from World War II and gone to art school and on the GI Bill often, mm-hmm. and sort of become part of this larger conversation of American art. So many, probably the majority of these artists, are working in kind of mainstream art school stories. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure some of the other artists are coming from that less so. Certainly some of the graphic artists are coming from other traditions. But it largely is. There are so many parallels. You could tell the entire story of 20th century and, you know, of contemporary art in this show. There's every major movement is represented. But instead, the show has taken a different lens on this period.
Well, there's more to pursue here, but first let me remind our listeners you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio is the curator of American art, Heather Campbell Coyle from the Delaware Art Museum, and we're talking about their current exhibition, Our America, the Latino Presence in American Art. Heather, with this exhibition, what kind of research goes into the pieces individually to inform the viewer, as well as research over the theme of the exhibit, and how is that conveyed to the visitor?
So the exhibition actually is incredibly thoroughly interpreted, especially through the Smithsonian has a fabulous website that supports the show. There's a ton of labels and wall text and the usual things in a museum, as well as this more robust web presence than usual. And you can tell the amount of research that went into, talking to these artists. Some of the best podcasts that they have on the website are the artists talking about their own work and how it relates to their personal experiences, but also fitting it into these larger thematic categories, which must have been an incredible challenge for the curators from Smithsonian to kind of encompass this broad range of art. And the categories are loose. In some cases, you see works that you could be in one or two or three categories. but seeing all those, it's eight different categories. They're pretty broad, as I said. You know, migration. One of the categories is everyday people. The urge to, which, you know, shows artists who are, it's just showing their friends and neighbors and families often, in some subtle way, perhaps, as a way of working against the media stereotypes of gang violence that were propagated by, you know, news reports, as well as by West Side Story, which is one of the real touchstones for many Latino artists to react against.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So with this exhibition, are you seeing an impact on who's coming through the doors?
We certainly seem to, at our programs, have been getting interest from Latino audiences. We are getting some partnerships. We started a couple of years ago forming partnerships with Las Aspiras Academy and with, obviously, with the Latin American Community Center. Voz Latina, trying to get make sure that we were reaching out so that the right people, so that everybody would hear about it.
Mm-hmm. How can our listeners learn more about the exhibition or just the Delaware Art Museum in general?
Well, of course, there's always the website is a terrific asset. For this particular exhibition, the Smithsonian has put together a wonderful exhibition-specific website, and you can link to that through the Delaware Art Museum's website at www.delart.org. You can friend us on Facebook, too, or follow us on Twitter, or follow us on Instagram, where the curators and librarian, we love to post interesting pictures of the things in the collection. And so you'll get to see a broad range of things in the collection, as well as things about the specific exhibitions and programs that we're running.
And we're coming up to a time of year when it's also an excellent time to take advantage of the sculpture garden outside as well.
Absolutely. And we're having some new things are coming into the sculpture garden this summer. We've had some donations, work by Stan Smokler, mm-hmm. Work by another Bernie Felch piece is coming in. So it's a piece that's a historical part of the collection but has been being conserved for years is going to come back. So it's very exciting time in the sculpture garden. There'll be new additions all throughout the summer. So there also may be some construction throughout the summer. Hopefully we'll have great weather for Noche de Carnaval, because then it can be outside. If anyone, and thousands of people did, came to our food truck event,
right,
they'll know that the sculpture garden is great on a spring night. Mm-hmm. So really hoping for good weather for that, so people can enjoy that and walk around outside. We're gearing up for summer camp, which is a busy time at the museum as well.
That's great. Now, for listeners who aren't necessarily familiar with the Delaware Art Museum, what are some of the other galleries that you have some permanent installations as well as your rotating? Is that the right term, rotating exhibitions?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. So the Delaware Art Museum was founded in 1912 after the death of Howard Pyle, with a formative collection of Pyle's work brought from his widow. And so Howard Pyle and over time his students and the whole history of American illustration have become a big part of our collection. So we have Howard Pyle, his students, who include Stanley Arthurs and N.C. Wyeth, part of this, big part of our collection in American illustration going up through probably the 1940s. We represent American illustration really well. We have a collection, of course, of the British Pre-Raphaelite paintings, which were donated by Samuel Bancroft, and who was a Wilmington textile magnate of sorts, who collected British Pre-Raphaelite art. In general, the collections of the museum, like of any regional museum, really reflect the interests of artists and collectors in this area. Mm-hmm. So I came here in part because we also have an extraordinary collection of American realist painting, in particular the work of the Ashcan School, who were early 20th century, late 19th, early 20th century artists in Philadelphia and New York, and who were painting everyday life in American cities. And that fit in really well with some of our other collections. It's a nice through line. You can go from, in our permanent collection, our American Survey, as I call it, which takes you from 1757 American portraiture through landscape painting and impressionist landscape painting and portraiture and all the major movements of the early late 19th and early 20th century through the realist work of Sloan and his John Sloan and the Ashcan School, and in right into the galleries where we have Edward Hopper and Andrew Wyeth, mm-hmm. also an important part of our collection. We really were formed by the tastes of this community. So we have real strength in American realism. And that goes right up through the 20th and 21st century.
It's interesting you say that, because I'm thinking as you're speaking that any art is in some ways social commentary, because it's coming out of the period in which it's created. And as a former history teacher, I'm very familiar with the Ashcan School and really the commentary that was so powerful in that art. Could you speak to that in this current exhibit, the Latino Presence in American Art, how it speaks to a social commentary?
Certainly. It made interesting connections to me that as someone who specializes in this turn of the century moment, where there was important things happening in American cities, including immigration from around the, particularly from Western Europe during the period that I specialize in, but this experience of immigration, of migration, of people coming to a big city and having to get to know it, that feeling of being out of place, of both longing for, there's really wonderful work by Maria Brito in Our America that really captures in an evocative and emotional way that sense of longing for home and also adjusting to a new space. She and her brother were part of Operation Pedro Pan. So they came over as children from Cuba and were in American, basically an orphanage, until their parents were able to make their way over. And so they were part of this huge historical moment. And you see most of the major migrations that happened in Latino history are represented in interesting ways in the exhibition. Also, I mentioned earlier the graphics and the farm workers movement, which I really remember from growing up in the early 1980s, how much discussion there was still about how, you know, the experience of migrant workers and in California specifically. But there's so many important historical moments that come out through this exhibition. The first section of the exhibition actually deals with artists who are quite specifically engaging with history. So you have Cristina Fernandez, who tracks her great-grandmother's trip. Her great-grandmother was the first member of their family to move to the United States in 1910. Mm. And she tracks her experience going from Mexico through Colorado and eventually settling in California. And just a really evocative piece. And she styles it in the form of sort of like a natural history or history museum, where it has a map first that shows you the little red line of where she moved, and then photos from these different periods. And then in the same room, you have Ken Gonzalez Day, who is engaging with this history of lynching in California. He actually wrote a whole book on it. This mm-hmm. artist wrote mm-hmm. and photographed a whole book on lynching in California, which, of course, involved not just, you know, African-Americans, but more so, perhaps even more so, also the immigrant populations, the Mexican population in particular, but also white men were mm-hmm. part of mm-hmm. you know, were lynched as well. And
well, I hate to cut you off, but we're running out of time. But it's certainly a great teaser to come see Our America: The Latino Presence in American Art, now showing at the Delaware Art Museum through May 29th. Heather Campbell Coyle, it's been a pleasure having you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.